is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
When Captain EO came back, it was probably like 7 or 8 years ago now, and I went with our friend Phil. I was so excited. I'm like, we're going to go there. And I went there, and I was crying from holding in my laughter.
Because
it was supposed to be this amazing thing. And like, and the music was great. But and like,
who directed that video? It's someone. I know who it is, and I'm going to feel like a fool. Keep talking. So sorry.
No, you're fine. It was just the funny. Like, I sat there like, this is so funny. And so 80s or whenever it first came out, and I loved it.
It's ridiculous.
And I just couldn't stop. Like, I legit was like holding in tears from laughing silently to myself.
Oh, I forgot. Francis Ford Coppola directed it. That's why.
Did he really?
Yeah, it was someone huge like that. I was like, was it George Lucas? Was it Ridley Scott? No, it was Francis Ford Coppola.
That's, I would have thought
Vintner,
they would have gone Spielberg
the famous
or Lucas.
Winemaker. Fun That's- fact.
He makes wine.
Oh, have you never had Coppola wine?
I
if you
don't
look
like
in,
wine.
If you literally go into any grocery store, there's Coppola wine, and
oh,
then there's like a rosé-ish, like sparkling wine that with his daughter's name, Sofia Coppola.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Now everyone knows about the Coppolas.
All well, right.
I just want to be like this person who has no idea about his work on Tetra or his work on The Godfather, but just be really a big fan of the
his wine.
Wine.
Oh. You're going to be like, oh, I had the Coppola today. And oh, yes. And somebody, there's a wine podcast right there somewhere where their fun fact is that, oh, he's also a director of
what?
A couple of...
he's a director. I don't know why this character is strangely
I like that he's British.
I just went proper, but...
I like it. That's
two,
really funny.
3, 4.
Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. We're calling it Talk 30 to Me. It is great.
Hi, I'm Kimmy. I cut you off.
So you're so loud. That's so embarrassing.
Did everyone turn?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's great. I'm Kelsey, and I am blushing now because
you always are blushing.
This is Kelsey and Kimmy on location from
Again.
Talk 30 Rock to Me because neither of us went to drive very far today. So we met halfway. We are at the
No Buzz Marketing. We're at a random location in Downey that
and
we shouldn't name.
Ooh, now the city of Downey is going to get a whole bunch of like a flock of
Talk
30
Rock, 30
Rock
to Me fans.
Yeah, yes. And they're going to be like, where are they? You're like, well, you don't know. Although they're going to, but we are not at the normal place that you would think we were at if we were in Downey.
We were not at Porto, so
right.
I'll buzz that. But no, my dream is Sex and the City style bus tours going through Downey, pointing out the different restaurants we've eaten at with like women with feather boas screaming. And then they serve night cheese.
Yes.
And Coppola wine.
Coppola wine. There we go. Bringing it all
no,
around.
No, they have to funky juice. That's
gross.
A future
yeah.
30 Rock joke.
Although, my problem is that whenever you think about juice, I think about Buster Bluth. This party's going to be unlimited
the
juice.
Giant, the giant juice box.
This party's going to be
oh,
off the hook.
So good, Kelsey. Well, Kelsey, I'm not even, I know I busted in there.
No,
and
you're good.
I said, I talked before you, but now it's your turn to talk about Amazon, those things, because I am, my brain's Swiss cheese and I can't remember it.
It is. So we have two things I'm going to talk about today. So
two?
First is, as always, which we love so much so, is our Amazon portal. If you go to boardwalkaudio.com/talk30rock to me and click on that support our artist button, it will take you on over to our Amazon portal while you're buying things. I recently bought on
what
Amazon
did you buy?
And I bought it through our link something called someone's something.
You're doing a great job with this, Kelsey.
I'm great at advertising this. It's like Silly Putty, but it's clear. And it comes in this giant tin, like this 4-inch
Sounds
diameter tin.
Horrifying.
No, it is fantastic.
You can watch the bugs drown in it.
Ew. Is that a thing that people do with
No,
Silly
I'm
Putty?
Just saying it's clear so you can watch things die. No.
Well, okay, well, I don't want to get anything in it. I don't want to make it colored. I've been like, I had it shipped to work, and so I can like play with it at work while I'm like on a call or whatever. And I like clean my desk meticulously ahead of time. So when I'm like playing with it, but so it comes out when it first came, it was in the container and I couldn't tell which side of the container it was in because it was that crystal clear. And then I was playing, and when you play with it, it gets a little foggy. And then as it sits, it slowly gets clear again. And it is so cool.
This is really fascinating.
I will try and remember
what
it's called.
Can you post a video of it going clear?
Yes. Although that,
and can you call it going clear?
Leaving Scientology.
I really want you to call it going clear and then people to get really confused.
They're like, what?
What is this?
I just watched this is we are not done with our advertisements, but I just watched a movie on Netflix called
We're buzz marketing up a storm today.
I'm great at words today.
Well, let's finish the Amazon plug and we'll get back to the movie.
It was a really cool Scientology movie, though. It was like behind the scenes. Okay. And then the other thing. So I talk about Audible unintentionally all the time on our podcast because I love Audible.
You do.
I particularly use Audible for my autobiographies because mm-hmm. give me somebody's autobiography and I will listen to an Audible because I want them to tell me a story. Like Rob Lowe's autobiographies are my favorite thing in the entire world because who doesn't want Sam Seaborn talking about their life? Also, Dick Van Dyke's fantastic.
Well, no one's going to argue with that.
I'm just going to, each week I'll talk about one of the Audible books that I just listened to. So I just finished listening to American Kingpin, which is not an autobiography, but it's because it's our book club book and it's about this guy Ross something or other, and he created and ran like the illegal version of Amazon, basically.
I just love Ross something or other.
I'm doing it great with names.
It is
today.
9 at night. I think it's okay, but
it was all the pita bread.
So
he
created the illegal Amazon.
Well, yes, but and it's like drugs and weapons and explosions.
Oh, it's like
it's like dark web.
It's the dark web.
Yeah, it was called the Silk Road, is what his website was.
Oh,
called.
I've heard about this. Oh. Yeah. The Silk Road.
Yeah.
I actually know what that is.
Yeah, but not like the Silk Road in China. Like,
oh, it's not the one they used in the 1400s to smuggle in silkworms?
It's newer than that.
Of course I know what it is, Kelsey. God.
But we're reading it for my book club, and so I ended up buying it on Audible and the physical copy, and it was just so good. So, but all that to say, we are now sponsored by Audible.
Woo!
And so you can go to audibletrial.com/talk30rock to me, and you can sign up for Audible and you get a 30-day free trial. They need your credit card number, but if you don't like it, just listen to 30 days and you can unsubscribe and you won't have to pay anything. But there are so many good books out there.
Can I plug something on Audible?
Yes.
Listen to Wedlocked with Kurt Brownoller and Lauren Cook. The delightful, you saw him in The Big Sick. You can see her at the show I tech at the Virgil Radio Picture Show, second Wednesday of every month. When this comes out, it will have just passed. But Wedlock will still be on Audible, and they just did a live show at Just for Laughs, and I bet it's amazing. You know why? Ron Funches was on it, as was Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher. So give it a listen.
What was the name of that?
It's called Wedlock.
Wedlock.
It's them talking about marriage.
Oh, marriage and stuff. Oh, like yeah. Wedlock. Oh,
yeah,
got it.
So it's them talking about marriage and going and interviewing people and discussing it. And Cameron and Rhea are really famous
married. So create your account today. Go to audibletrial.com/talk30. Rock to me, download your favorite books, tell us about it, and tell me if it's good, because I'm always looking for new audiobooks because I've had an Audible subscription for a very, very long time. And also another cool thing about Audible, if you happen to read your books on Kindle, if it's set up for Whisper Sync, wherever you're on your audiobook, you can start up whenever you're at on your, what is that called, your Kindle book, you can start it up on Audible and it'll sync to where you're at in the physical Kindle book, and it's freaking sweet.
The world's
and back
too
and
complicated
forth.
For me, Kelsey.
I love it. Anyways, that's Audible and Amazon. And now back to the show. Anyways, we are here to talk about 30 Rock.
30-30.
We're going to talk about
30-30. I'm like, did I make a mistake?
No, you did. Sorry, no, you did not.
I did not.
No, you did.
Kelsey, what is going on tonight? Why are you drunk?
All I had was water and lemon. What was in that lemon?
What was in that lemon?
Or in the hummus?
The hummus was for sure.
One or the other.
Spiked. Hummus. I'm actually into that.
They
Flambe.
Offered jalapeno hummus. And I said no.
You made the wrong choice.
I don't know what these things are. Anyways,
it's olive oil.
Oh, that makes sense. This is not.
You know, this is really great for a visual, for an audio.
Sorry.
You picking up food that no one could see. 30-30.
All right. So my 30-30.
Yes. What is
today?
It?
Just recently, I always, my 30-30 is never something succinct. I have to tell you my train of thought to get there.
Okay. Take us on the journey.
I started listening to My Favorite Murder on...
You started listening to it.
Thursday.
Oh, I'm so glad.
No, Friday. On my way to LA, I listened to episode 1.
I'm so glad. What did you think?
I'm 23 episodes in.
I knew you'd love it. People are obsessed with it.
I love it. I shouldn't be listening to it while I am house sitting alone.
Alone. Yeah, no, I can't listen to it.
Shouldn't listen to it while it's dark out.
No, it's scary.
Shouldn't listen to an episode about a man drinking blood while you're trying to eat lunch.
Ooh, appetizing.
Yeah, it was it was interesting. I was like, why do I feel sick as I'm like eating my BLT?
It's definitely the kind of thing that makes you afraid of every man.
Oh yeah. I'm like, oh, 100%. I've been, this isn't even my actual 30. They're still getting there, but I've been house sitting for my parents and the front bedroom window is like super low to the ground. Like it's at bed level, just the front windows. And I'm suddenly super paranoid about like when I go to bed, the window being open enough that somebody could come through the screen. And so I've like been making sure it was only an inch or two, but there's no rod. And so for the first couple nights, I only kept, and I've shut it because I'm just convinced that I'm going to wake up. Because the very first night I was there, I like rolled over in the bed and I saw the back of the door into the bedroom and there was a towel hanging in there and I thought it was a person and I straight up yelled out.
You know what, Kelsey, maybe we should start advising self-defense podcasts.
Ooh.
Like maybe not advising, but like maybe we should find good self-defense podcasts.
That might be good. Really. Because this is like when I was reading and watching Dexter, my dreams were crazy. Anyways,
don't do this to yourself.
I know.
You're listening to My Favorite Murder. What does this have to do with 30 Rock?
So, because on one of the couple first episodes, they started talking about The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Of course.
And so because of that, while binge listening, I was also binge watching. happened.
I'm so glad you finally gave in to watch that because Marsha is one of the best episodes of television I have seen years.
The only reason I hadn't watched it is because we were supposed to watch it together and that never happened.
You're right. John got that upset. I told John not to wait for me.
That is the only reason.
I know,
and finally,
I'm sorry.
I was like, you know what?
I forgot.
I'm just going to watch it.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But you're not allowed to give me crap for having not watched it
yet.
I was waiting.
I appreciate that. You caught me.
Yeah.
I forgot I made that promise and I acquiesce. I'm bowing to you.
I appreciate that. So, but because of that, I never, like, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is really what the 30-30 is on this. I did not realize all the trial scenes in season one was making fun of the O.J. Simpson
Yeah,
trial.
That's what her hair is.
I had, I just thought, okay, it's just Tina. I had idea.
Tim Meadows. It was Tim Meadows in this, right?
The actor?
Yeah, he was the
the guy who played what's his face in it.
I can't remember anyone's name.
I can't remember what the actors who played it in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I can't remember the. I know. I thought it was Tim Meadows.
I just know in People vs. O.J. Simpson, it was Sterling, who I love because of Army Wives.
No, exactly. Oh no, Sterling came out. So Chris Darnell
is the actual.
I think Tim Meadows is playing the Chris Darnell character.
Got it.
But now I have to double check.
I had no idea, and so it made it. I went through and I rewatched the last couple of episodes of season one. It made it so much more enjoyable. Like it was fine the first time through.
Oh, like all the weird like rhymey things they're doing.
Well, and like the aqua
and like his like weird like manipulation.
Their little like sexual tension sort of a thing. Like it was funny.
It's really funny.
Yeah, I just had no idea, and so I appreciated that a lot more now because I've now binge People versus O.J. Simpson.
Now I'm going to be really upset if it's not Tim Meadows. No, it's Jerry Minor. What am I doing? I'm such an idiot. I think I just assumed it was going to be an SNL person.
Oh, that's a fairly safe assumption.
I think I also have had a lot of Tim Meadows on the brain because he's a delight. And I think sometimes I'm just like, you know, what's Tim Meadows doing right now?
What's up to? What's up to? What's up to?
Being the best part of pop star. That's what. That's a good 30-30. You're right. It is absolutely an amazing thing. You took a really long way to get there, but I really enjoyed it.
I also just wanted everyone to know that I was now listening to My Favorite Murder.
I think you're going to love it. And I think that'll make a future guest we're getting on even more fun. So.
Oh, no. Is that going to make me nervous? Are they a serial killer?
Yes, I'm having a serial killer on the show. We're going to be running from him.
While recording,
really
though.
Exactly. It's going to be really, really great.
We'll see how this goes.
It's going to be super fun.
All right.
So,
I don't know that any other podcast has had an action serial killer moment.
I just really am inspired by horror elements. So I just want to like capture it in our podcast. Good 30-30. I'm glad you're always rewatching Kimmy Schmidt because you should. I'm still working on my Tarantino-esque theory of how Great News, Kimmy Schmidt, and 30 Rock all live in the same universe.
The web.
Give me some time. The web. Exactly. But I've given like three people like talks about this and like why I think this and no one fully is on board yet, but I'll win you all.
I like it.
I'll win you all. So good 30-30.
I'm sorry. Are your notes written on mail?
I couldn't find my notebook last night. And it was dark and my roommate was asleep. So
you just pulled out a bill.
I don't need
and
these.
And the back of it is that junk mail.
I don't
mail.
Need this. This is my old health insurance I don't have anymore. And then this. This is like that like Joey Tribbiani friend's life where he's like eating sauce out of a jar.
I've got my iPad here, color-coordinated notes.
These are both from my health insurance I don't have anymore because I'm not covered like a cool kid.
Ooh.
I know. Living on the
Congratulations.
Edge.
Congratulations.
I know. I'm going to get fined. I'm so excited for that. But thanks, Obama.
Right.
Oh, damn it. Anyway, yes, I thought I'd actually was trying to make this a reveal because I thought you'd find it very funny.
That was so great.
This is the truth. I couldn't find my notebook last night. I was like, well, I got to write it down. So I was there was a stack of mail. I'm like, what things do I not want to open?
That is fantastic.
And it's the things my old health insurance keeps sending me because they keep kind of be like, you can keep us. You just have to pay so much money. Right. I'm not made of money, health insurance. But I'm ready to talk about this episode of 30 Rock.
All right. We are talking about season 3, episode 12.
Yes.
Larry King. Fun fact, before I even get into my other facts.
I want to hear all the facts.
AV Club, on their review of this, called this episode Jaleesa instead of Larry King.
Whoa, why'd they do that?
Because this is the episode that Jaleesa is mentioned.
Oh, no, I know Jaleesa's in it.
I don't know, because, okay, 30 Rock.
Oh, don't you be telling me what's in this episode, Kelsey. I know what's in this episode.
Well, because 30 Rock doesn't do, like, the name of the episodes ahead of time, so I don't know if sometimes they're given it, or maybe that's what the name was going to be initially, and then they changed it after. Like, I don't know if AV Club gets information ahead of time or something, but I just thought that I was like,
I like the idea that, like, Carlock's, like, feeding AV Club, like, hey, the next one's going to be called Jaleesa. Oh no, we changed it.
Proved
it's
you wrong.
Late. It's like ridiculous, but
right.
No.
Anyways, so this episode air date was February 26th, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Director was Constantine Macris.
I saw the name and I was really into it.
So Constantine has done a whole bunch of Law and Order.
Oh, intriguing.
This is her only episode of 30 Rock.
I like that she was like, I want to get into comedy.
Right, right.
And she did a great job. This is a very funny episode.
Well, yeah, because you know what's funny? That's literally because she did Law and Order. She did an episode of Grimm. She did 2 episodes of Quantico. And she did 8 episodes of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So this is definitely
comedy, very, very interesting. But she did some 30 Rock. And you know what? She did a great episode.
Fantastic.
That has a lot of really funny, dramatic bits in it.
Mm-hmm. The writer was Matt Hubbard, who we've seen a whole bunch and we like him.
Good old Matt Hubbard.
My recap is that Tracy causes havoc in New York during a Larry King appearance. Jack and Elisa take the next step in their relationship, which comes crashing down, much like the economy. And Liz finds herself in a hostage situation.
Whoa, that was so
deep.
To
preserve her dignity.
That was so deep.
I was proud of myself for that one.
I was really proud of you. I am really proud of you because I didn't even put that together about the metaphor. The markets, their right. relationship. I have feelings about this episode.
Really?
I really enjoy it, but we'll get into it. But let's... where do you want to start?
Where do you want to start?
I want to start anywhere. Feelings. No, I mean, my feelings won't come till the end. It's the I have feelings about Jaleesa in this episode.
Okay.
But I think we can start anywhere. So do we want to... Maybe we should start... All right. Let's discuss where we're going to start for like 10 more minutes.
Sounds good.
I think we should start with Tracy.
Okay. All right.
I think you should start, though, because I watched this at midnight last night, and I had a really intense weekend, bachelorette-ing, and my brain isn't really working.
Got it.
So you can't remember names. I can't remember anything else. So go.
Maybe I should force you to try and explain it. So this storyline starts with Tracy appearing on Larry King, as he is wont to do on occasion, and he starts talking about... he's on their talk. Beforehand.
Oh, yeah, they're literally so blunt. They're like, you're going to be on Larry King. And he's like, cool. And plug the show.
Right. He's like, all you have to say is TGS. Because it starts with him being like, you're on, like, you can't cuss. And he goes, I curse for 3 hours straight to get out of my system, you dumb bitch. Like, oh, it's so.
Can I say something about that? So, fun fact, listeners, I've only been watching It's Always Sunny exclusively for a month and a half of my life. I have watched only, I can't even express how much, everyone's like, watch this show. I have only watched It's Always Sunny.
That was like me with Survivor for
it's
a long time.
Yeah, no, I realized It's Always Sunny's my coping show. There's been a lot of life changes lately, and I can't handle anything but a whole bunch of terrible people never leaving a bar in Philadelphia. But they say bitch a lot, and I don't like that word at all.
Okay.
I have my feelings. I have the Leslie Knope really convicted me about the use of that word. But they say bitch so much. To the extent where it's like a punchline because they always just every time with a D, like, you stupid bitch. And now I say the word bitch loudly in restaurants very awkwardly. I'm sorry. I forget that people can hear us.
Well, you have headphones on too. So
am I very loud? Be honest with me. It can be quieter. Got it.
You're fine. You're good.
was trying to make a great show, Kelsey. That's what
I know,
this is.
You're right.
Long story short, now I hear the word bitch. I don't have like the negative. I just fondly think of Mac and Dennis calling Dee a B word. And it's very weird because I hate that word. But anyway, so let's just all talk about It's Always Sunny all the time. Cool.
All the time.
This is now an It's Always Sunny podcast. What are your feelings about Charlie Day?
I watched the first season or two.
It gets
wow,
even better.
Total eclipse of the heart going on right
We're
now.
We're
going
to immediately just break into the pantomime we did for like 5 years of high school.
You're going to turn around drugs.
I know. Oh, I was always drugs too, which says a lot. Why was I always drugs?
Foreshadowing. I'm just kidding.
I know. I never got to be sex. Why didn't I get to be sex?
You just didn't have that.
I didn't have the. I wasn't a sexy 14-year-old apparently. No, not me. The private schooler.
Oh man. Ivan. So anyway, so Tracy,
that made no sense to anyone. I'm so sorry.
There's a couple of homeschoolers listening, going like, or people who went
people
to
YouTube
who had
and had to do pantomimes to 80s classics.
but then we had the Spanish version too.
Oh no. So I'm so sorry.
Anyways,
please ignore us. Continue.
We are catering to our one audience member who is,
which is like
giggling
your, like
right
your
now.
Mom and like my friend.
Right.
Continue.
Anyway, so they're like, okay, just promote the show. TGS Fridays at 10:30 on NBC.
What does he say? I know you
he
wrote
goes,
it down.
NGS Fridays at 6:30 on TB10.
I was really hoping he'd say CBC, and I'd be like, Canada.
Oh my gosh. Uh-huh. Oh, I would have let me say like CBS.
That'd be so funny. You know what? They probably made that joke, and then the NBC was like, no, you can't.
That's advertising for the other.
We let all these Les Moonves jokes go. You need to stay on. You need to stop talking about our competitor.
I love it.
Beating NBC so badly in the ratings at that point.
Hmm.
Like, let's be real. CBS is always winning right now, but back then it was bad.
Always.
It was so bad.
So it then cuts to Tracy on Larry King, and it shows up with him telling the plot of Teen Wolf.
I had another idea for this too. Kelsey, have you seen Teen Wolf?
No, I have not.
Have not either. Can we try to tell? Can you tell me what? Can we discuss what we think probably the plot of Teen Wolf is?
Okay, so but I'm pretty sure they play basketball.
They play basketball.
Okay, I know there's basketball.
I know his fur like sticks out of his uniform, and it looks weird.
Okay, yeah.
And does, is
Michael it Jamie Foxx? Okay, there. I was just
Jamie Foxx.
It's so different.
I knew there was an animal.
So different.
You said it was a fox. That's so different than Michael J. Foxx. Their acting styles alone. Oh my God, Kelsey. That's so good.
There was a J. How do you know that Jamie Foxx's real name is
Michael Jamie Foxx? Actually, that's a Halloween costume. Michael Jamie Foxx.
Yes, but just as Teen Wolf.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, so I think he's a child. He's a man.
He's a child man. He's a teenager.
That's
what
they call a teenager.
A teenager. Dear Lord, Kelsey. So he's a teenager.
And why does he turn into a wolf?
I think there's a moon involved.
Right, but like, was he bit by a wolf?
I'm assuming that's like
Finnear Greyback?
That's typical werewolf lore.
So
correct?
Who,
unless it's Twilight. It was very different in Twilight.
Do you think he was bit though, like as a teenager? Was he bit as a child? He's just been facing this his whole life.
I'm going to look up the story of Teen Wolf. And you keep talking, like, I think he was bit. I think he was the cool hot dude.
Okay, oh,
I think he was like cool and suave because it was
Michael
J. Fox.
He was like meeting a girl like under the bleachers, and a wolf was there instead.
I'm really into this scene. Like, how do you put the light? Marissa.
And he's like, your hair. You got your hair done.
Oh
and then
my God.
It's like,
no. Too far. He would have realized this point. But the wolf attacks him. So then he's like, I'm a teenager, but now I'm a wolf. I guess I'm going to play basketball still and win the local finals.
And of course, he didn't tell his parents. He thought he could handle it by himself.
It's true, but he had like that one chubby friend he told. You know, you've always had that 80s friend who's like the sweet kid.
You're picturing the,
I'm picturing
like the Jonah Hill from Superbad type of thing.
I'm picturing the kid from Goonies.
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
I just saw Stand By Me, so I'm really into 80s tropes right now.
I've been watching.
Chunk is the chunk. Do the shuffle, the truffle shuffle. Isn't his name Chunk? Isn't that the
call? Yeah. So I was
we're on Goonies
shuffle.
Still.
I've seen that movie once. Also, another 30-30 we could have done was that last week was Shark Week, and we watched shark movies all day long at work at my office, and it was great.
It was Shark Week.
It has nothing to do with Teen Wolf,
we do
though.
Need to move on. Oh, I got to this stupid TV show. No offense.
Oh, that's right. Okay, the TV show is my favorite thing, though, because the creator of that is Jeff Davis, and Jeff B. Davis from Harmontown always gets followers, like teenage girls saying, we love you, and he's like, his bio on Twitter is literally not the creator of Teen Wolf.
That's really funny.
Yeah. All right. So what is IMDb
tell
us? Well,
no, we need to figure it out. Okay. So why is he like, he's a wolf, but also he plays basketball and they have the championship?
Yeah, because scholarship. Yeah, it's got to be right for the championship game.
Why is a wolf the animal that's going to save? Like, if I was to be like, all right, he's a wolf, what sport is he going to win? I wouldn't say basketball. I'd be like, you know what? Tennis. No, I'm kidding. I would say soccer for sure. A wolf would be good at soccer because he's fast. Okay. And he likes the ball.
You know what? Okay, I was going to say because of Air Bud, but I bet Air Bud came after this. So
for
Air Bud
sure
was inspired by this because
this.
Dogs play basketball.
For sure.
Because I bet that the director or creator of this movie had a dog that like he threw the ball at and could hit it. So he's like, all right, wolves are kind of like dogs. And then, but how does end? Does he find a way to not turn into a wolf or does he just embrace it?
Oh, no,
it?
He full on embraces being a wolf. He is very wolf-like.
For the rest of his life.
The only scene I've seen him like dunking and he's wolf-like.
But like, I mean, like for the, like, does the movie end with him just like, I'm werewolf? Or does he like drink the magic serum that makes him turn into a man full-time or a man boy?
I can't figure out what this plot is. All right, I'm going to read this plot written by Anonymous, the Ooh. Hacker group.
Yes.
I'm kidding. Scott Howard is a high school student on a struggling basketball team. He desperately seeking another girl who doesn't seem to notice him until he turns into a wolf. No idea why.
You know, that's I would notice the boy once he turned into
but
a wolf.
But once, it's weird how this is just like a weird metaphor for puberty. Like, it's like
it was really just a beard.
It's just nature erupts, you know. Once a change occurs and is accepted in school and social events, Scott turns into the most liked and talked about person in town.
So it's not he's like a
so
secret
it gets him cool.
wolf at all. It's
no,
like,
he's
yeah.
a secret. I think he is a secret wolf. I think like it's like how Spider-Man gets cool after he becomes Spider-Man. No one knows he's Spider-Man, but he saves girls. He like catches girls, and everyone's like, "Whoa, you're super cool."
Interesting.
He gets the girl. The basketball team is doing great, but he begins to want things to be back to normal. However, his father warns him about turning to a wolf out of anger. Oh, so he just does it. It's like a family trait. It happens when he's mad. Scott must watch his anger, and he could still win the high school basketball state championships. Ooh, this one. No, but
so
this.
So if he gets angry during the game, he turns into a wolf?
Yeah, look, there's so many different bio descriptions on IMDb. And then we have an ordinary high school student discovers that his family has an unusual pedigree when he finds himself turning into a wolf. Cool. So we just explained Teen Wolf.
There we go. I'm like, I just want to, like, did that happen? Like, oh, you turned 18. This is now what happens to your body? Or is it a puberty thing? But if it's like the championship, he's got to be like a senior in high school type of thing, I feel like.
I mean, it's for sure in high school. So probably
must,
junior. I'd
like
say junior because you need to end it and he would be like, he's going to be with this girl forever. One more year. That's how it will go.
That is
so.
Teen Wolf. Well,
anyway, I just really wanted to see what we could, because I knew, I had a gut feeling neither of us had seen Teen Wolf.
No,
I'm like,
never
what do
seen
we
it.
Think Teen Wolf is? But they did
I
Tracy.
I think we were pretty close.
Why is Tracy so into werewolves though? There's werewolf or mitzvah in the myth. He's so into pubescent wolves.
That's interesting.
I know. This is we're gonna have to dig into.
Fine,
this.
Let's find that pattern. I bet that pattern. I bet there's got to be one more.
At least
there
one more. It's
three.
Like a Beetlejuice thing. With the third time.
That child
These kids
just walked
are
by barking.
Really pumped.
She was just barking.
There's a
she a werewolf?
Teen wolf. Teen wolf just
that
ran
was
by
a child
us.
Wolf though.
Child wolf.
That was like a girl child.
I've watched
wolf.
That girl child wolf Disney Channel original series.
It's like Boy Meets World. It's child.
Wolf. Girl meets world meets Teen Wolf.
Oh my
god. Girl meets wolf.
Girl meets wolf. Oh. That does not normally end well.
I made myself laugh very hard with that one.
That was good. That was
but
good.
I don't, okay, here's the thing. This is what I'm going to say. I think that all we really need to say about this Tracy thing, because it drives the rest of the plot. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of hand movements
no,
right
it's
now.
Great.
I don't know why. It drives the rest of the plot is that basically he just starts fear-mongering. And for the pure
totally.
Love of it, is that, and for some reason, Larry King, I never watched Larry King. I don't know what his interview style is. I know
he's so straight in this. Like
he's straight in a lot of ways. I don't know why I made that joke. But he's so straight in this. But I wonder, like, this whole thing of how he keeps asking Tracy all of these things that Tracy has no knowledge about, and then Tracy keeps speaking in such confidence and causing chaos. It's very entertaining to
me. Yes, I loved it.
And it just drives the rest of our plot. So I think that's all we need to say about this. Are there any jokes with this? The Teen Wolf thing is what I caught.
The only great thing was, like, some of the crawls at the bottom of the screen.
Oh, what did the crawls
ones
say?
Ones that said, like, so ones that said, Tracy Jordan is the star of Who Dat Ninja and Black Cop, White Cop.
Oh, Black Cop, White Cop.
And then one time it said, the U.S. economy is sound. And then it said, Tracy Jordan has a high school education. And then it showed, quoting Tracy Jordan, panic. And then quoting Tracy Jordan, New York is over.
I love his, like, weird obsession with 1970s New York. It's like it's very much that Carol Kane storyline in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, mm-hmm. where it's like this classic. It's like this classic New Yorker with this time when New York was like this dangerous place. So like the real New Yorkers lived there and now it's super gentrified.
Yeah.
So it's really funny that he's talking about those 1970s like Brooklyn.
Totally.
When it was still incredible, when it was so dangerous. But so
the only other part about Tracy's storyline, though, is that because he mentions like take your money out and hide it some places and the writers are listening to
You're
Larry.
You're right.
King
I forgot
this.
About this.
Yeah. And so then the guys are suddenly like, oh, my goodness, like. Tracy's hidden money at work, so now they're digging and tearing the place apart only to this is because because 30 Rock does this amazingly where stories converge at the end. But they're digging and trying to figure out, you know, where is the money? Where is the money? And
it's such a forced storyline, but yeah, Tracy is so crazy. It's completely
like, it's the safest
right.
place at 30 Rock. It's dry and warm, and the top is hard, and the
I
bottom is soft.
I don't want anyone to describe me as dry and warm.
I know,
but I
right?
don't want people to describe me as
no,
wet
don't
and
say
warm.
It.
So I didn't say it.
Thank you.
I'm not going to do that. No. I might as well just eat on mic, you know?
Gross. But yeah, so then it will tell you where it was at the end.
Well, here's the thing. Have you ever seen How to Succeed in Business without really trying?
No.
First of all, you need to watch that musical.
Okay.
I know you're hit or miss with musicals. You mm-hmm. love some, you don't. This is a great musical. It's a mod musical. So it's super okay. that like mod 19, like mid 1960s Mad Men era about like working in business. And this like young upstart guy gets a book that teaches him how to climb.
Okay.
This is what Daniel Radcliffe did right after Harry Potter's. He did this on Broadway.
Oh,
right?
Got
it was a big
got
deal.
It, got it.
It's an incredible musical. The 1960s one is amazing. And fun fact for all you Mad Men listeners out there, Sterling? Roger Sterling? Cooper, I think. I forget which ones. Cooper from Mad Men, the crazy boss with Rothko's in his office, is the original J. Pierpont Finch
okay.
in the How to Succeed in Business movie. It's an incredible movie. It's an incredible musical. And there's a scene where they've hidden a treasure and this one girl blurts out where it is and the business, it's in the business, thing. It's ransacked. So this is, to me, is a recreation.
Oh,
I think it's an homage to that. I think
okay.
it's an homage because it's the same thing where everyone's like tearing up offices trying to find it. Someone on TV is giving clues. So maybe they've never seen it, but let's be real. These people are nerds.
They've seen everything.
Seen business. So you should watch that musical. It's incredible. And I've sang it at you more than you would actually think, but no one knows what I'm saying. They're just like, why are you singing the name Rosemary a lot?
Yeah. Interesting.
So anyway.
Okay. But yeah, so that's kind of how that storyline ends with the guy searching for the money.
Hi. Hello, Teen Wolf is back. Child Wolf
talking
is back.
To a child wolf mm-hmm. right now.
Hi. Do you want to talk on a podcast? It's fine. Run away. Why do I scare all the children?
Well,
I was so mad at them last time. Now I want them.
I know
near
you
me.
Were so angry at them last time.
I know.
Okay, so let's talk about Jack and Alisa.
Yeah, let's get into Jaleesa. Jaleesa.
So Liz or Jack? No, who? Alisa, the other person.
Let's go through all of the characters. Jonathan? No.
No. No.
Kenneth? No. Alisa.
That has one of my favorite jokes about that this time. Hang on. So, okay. So first of all, like Jack knows that Alisa wants to talk about, like they want to have, they want to have a DTR, right? Like this
oh
is the
my
time
God.
To have that.
Can we explain to the non-Christian
okay,
audience what
I just
a DTR
had this conversation.
Is? Because it's a defined relationship.
I literally just had this conversation last night with the group of people that I was with explaining how like I listen to podcasts sometimes and when they make fun of Christians, they talk about DTRs and side hugs.
Fair. Fair. All of it. Fair. Accurate. We're terrible at hugs, and we like to DTR, and that's a word we use, and we think everyone knows it, and they don't. But anyway, so Jack and Alisa are DTR.
They got to define the relationship.
She's Catholic. This applies to her.
Yeah. But I love that she walks in, and Jack walks in and goes, Lemon, you're a woman. Of course I am. That doctor was a quack. I don't even know why my parents listened to him. And then that follows
it makes
through
sense,
the
all
whole
her
rest of the storyline. Yes, I know. Well, and then I wrote, was she raised a boy? I'm like, is that why she thought that like football, like I know the whole feminist thing, but like she played football in high school because she was raised a boy maybe?
No,
because
they didn't want her to do it, but I get that.
Fair enough. And then we
no,
learned that Jack and Alisa
this plot is this joke is so funny.
They haven't had sex yet. Jack and Alisa, we've learned.
But how do we learn? Because of how he explains it. So, first of all, the way the two of them talk about sex, I would never, like, the idea of talking about that with my boss is so horrifying to me. It
my boss doesn't
me.
Like me to say when I have a date.
That's true. Oh, God, Kelsey, stop it. Too much.
He thinks I'm 18. That's why.
That's also true. But it's just, like, so weird the way they talk about that stuff. But I also love that moment where she's like, Liz Lemon has done it in 2009. Has done it two more times than you. What?
And then, do not leave a brother hanging. Which I wrote, who? With Drew. That's right, because she's still with Drew at this point.
I know, it's true.
It must have been with
but
Drew.
Also, what a hilarious number. But let's just think about it. You're in a writer's room. You're like, all right, we want this whole thing that Liz has weirdly had more sex than Jack.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's be realistic. Like 10. No, let's be realistic. This is Liz Lemon. She's not having, she's
like,
probably not
they've only been
sex.
Together for 2 weeks. Maybe twice.
Twice. Not even. It's been like a week. Like it's twice they've had sex. Oh, yeah, you're right, because the week before is Valentine's
Day.
Yeah. Or is it Generalissimo? I'm mixing
it
up.
Well, this is the 26th and Valentine's Day would have been the 14th. So.
Exactly. So yeah, so twice. It's such a perfect, like you couldn't do one. One wouldn't be funny. You have to go one mm-hmm. more. This is just logic of my
it's
brain.
So
it's
perfect.
So funny.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just get Alisa, like, so because Alisa wants to go to to Puerto Rico for Christmas. And Jack is like, oh, but I want you to stay here. Well, I could stay here if I knew where this is going. And he's like, but we're we're Jaleesa. And he holds up the pillow. And Elisa's turned the other way. And she goes, that's lame, Jack. And he tosses the pillow. It was just a joke. Which I think is quite hilarious.
And I do love it, the way that the physical comedy of that scene is great.
Yes. And then I love the joke where...
Sorry, this child nearly ran in the street. Oh, it terrified
that's
me.
Good.
We're fine. Everything's fine. The kid is with his siblings. It was Teen Wolf child. I had to protect.
Yeah, that's true. We, you know, I wonder if that's how he gets his superpowers. He gets hit by a car.
Don't even joke about this. It's making me so uncomfortable.
I've been listening to My Favorite Murder. Lots of murdery, brainy things in my head. Whatever. And but I just love Jonathan makes the joke. He goes, but what about Jaconathan? And I love
what
it.
What a terrible name.
So Jack decides that he's going to stay with Lisa instead of stay at work. Right. Is that what happens?
Yeah. No. So Jack. Okay. Why is my brain so broken right now? Jack is talking to her. She wants a real commitment. She wants the time spent with him. And then they're going to have a special night, right? And then he runs into Brian Stack in the
to Jorgensen
elevator.
In the elevator.
God bless Brian Stack.
I knew
every time his voice.
Don't tell the story. You've told it before.
No, I'm not going to tell the story. Every time I hear his voice, I just hear him on Thrilling Adventure Hour. Thank you. I'm Brian Stack. God, he was one of the great Conan writers. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, yeah, but he's like, have you seen what's going on? He's like, I can't handle that right now, and shuts the elevator on him, basically.
Oh, poor Jorgensen. It's just a really hard life.
And then the markets are crashing. NBC's going under, basically.
But
right?
Even more importantly, Jack and Elisa finally consummated their relationship. So
okay, my...
I like her, like, little...
Okay, no, because...
Red and pink.
It was red, pink, and orange.
It looked great.
It was... Okay.
Break rules,
Elisa's
Kelsey.
Wearing
break
a
rules.
Pink robe and has an orange slip on.
It works
and then
so good on
Jack
her.
Jack is wearing red pants.
It's a teddy, like, technically, but yes.
Whatever. It's just so like there's nothing.
It's because their love is fiery, Kelsey. Ugh. It's a visual metaphor.
Their love does not match. Their love clashes.
You're so weird. No, I love it. But again, she does this, like, this, the way she moves. It's so funny because the first introducer, she's a very serious, grounding character for him. But they suddenly kind of make her a little cartoony. And again, she does
totally.
That crazy
the Jessica
walk.
Rabbit. The
yeah, she's very Jessica Rabbit. Oh my gosh, it's very accurate. She, the way she runs, but then the defeated look, like the way she walks when the businessmen walk in. Oh my
gosh. When he's like, you got to come in, we're losing this money. It doesn't matter. There is no amount. Yes, that is the amount.
So here's the thing. This is where I get really split. If she was like his wife of 10 years and that he hasn't been, like if it was a Tracy and Angie situation,
yeah.
I was going to say Sherry. And I'm like, no, that's her actual name. Yeah. This is a Tracy and Angie situation. I would kind of get this. It's been 10 years of him doing this. Even if it's this really big thing, it's always been something, right? But this is really new in the relationship.
Yeah.
And I kind of, my whole thing is like, if the company's going to lose a lot of money, people are going to lose their jobs. Like,
yeah.
This is going to really, really hurt people. People like, oh, she's like, oh, you're going to be poor like the rest of us. No, like, it affects everyone.
Right.
This is all ridiculous because the whole point was the action of like, well, he has to make a choice. But
a
part
but
of
a
me
little
was like,
high
come
maintenance on
Lisa.
Her part. Like, it's kind of like when like
the cracks are showing.
When like my favorite subreddit is relationships because it's like sitting at Starbucks and eavesdropping on somebody else's conversation as they're talking about their relationship problems. And when somebody gets on there and they're so upset that we've been dating for a month and my boyfriend won't let me go on family vacation with them, I'm like, yeah, you've been dating a month. Like, that's
you
okay.
Tell him, Kelsey.
And that's like this sort of thing too. I'm like, you guys have really only been together for a month, maybe two. Like, it's okay that he needs to help save his company.
I know.
Like,
I mean,
it's really okay.
Again, I like hear how ridiculous that I even made this point is because this is like a TV show and they need a conflict.
Yeah.
But it just rubbed me wrong a tiny bit. But also that's me being crazy. So I admit it. I'm being crazy. But yeah, I just love the physical. I don't know, man. I just want to see her. I want to see Selma Hayek in so much more because her physical comedy is so good on this show.
Totally.
I just that again, the image of her walking back so upset.
I love that. So Tracy's on Larry King. They're still going crazy. Jack calls in to try and explain it, what's happening or whatever. And they're explaining. He at some point, he explains how he was with his girlfriend and she's Latin. And Larry King goes, expand on that. And then Elisa walks into their room and she goes, and it smells like dude in here. Like,
Ah, man. I don't know. There's just something about the way she says things. It's so funny.
And then she has her killer exit line of Jack saying, what's happening here is a once in a lifetime thing. And she says, so am I.
Here's the thing. At that moment, I was like, Alisa wins.
Yep.
Alisa wins. She's amazing. And she gets it. Yep. So I take everything back. Be mad, Alisa. She's so great in this scene. Yeah. I side with her.
That way she ends that. And then I love that, like, she goes outside. She's going to Puerto Rico. She wants to. And then, like, she's outside and can't get a cab because everybody's, like, running for the hills, basically. But Jack was like, I'm going to run out. I'm going to do the thing like Ross. I was going to do the whole airport thing like Ross did on Friends and Liz Lemon did in real life. And so they end up deciding, like, we're going to get married. We're going to get engaged. I want something real. And Alisa says, I want a ring so big it's going to give me back problems. Which
I
is
love that.
Really,
it's
really,
a really,
really funny
great
to
descriptor.
Me. And then
go,
she leaves.
I want to go back a minute, though, to that video with Rip Torn.
Yes.
I just want to talk about Rip Torn again. It was, I don't know, I just love his fake hair and his face. He's just so funny to me.
To learn that Geist really is all about family, I was like, all right.
Well, I'm watching.
Which of his family members?
So funny, I'm watching with at work right now at lunch. We watch 2 episodes of 30 Rock a day. This is the fun thing. My work is very pro 30 Rock, so we talk about it all the time. It's wonderful being around people who just quote 30 Rock as much as I do.
I love it.
It's absolutely incredible, actually. So I'm watching it, and we're at the seasons where we meet Geist's families.
Yes.
So he's a family man. He is quite. He is a family man.
He's a family's man.
Exactly.
Can I tell you, when you said that you like being around people that quote? So you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, actually. I just finished listening to Phoebe Robinson's You Can't Touch My Hair.
I haven't finished it yet.
So good.
She's
but
so
she
incredible.
Quotes The West Wing so much and makes references to
She's
it.
She's so
makes
into
me
it.
So happy.
She is just, I find her to be just one of the quickest witted people.
Mm-hmm.
Quick wittedest,
well,
whatever.
I have like 10 minutes left of it of The Incredible Jessica Jones.
I haven't started it. Is it good?
It's really good. It's fun. I'm all of a sudden like,
how
I don't
cute
know.
Is Chris O'Dowd in it? That's all I care. No, I'm kidding. I want to see her.
I love him.
I love him so much. I've been also watching the IT Crowd. I know I said I was only watching it. It's Always Sunny. I lied. I'm kidding. I pretty much only have.
I love it. So that kind of does it for their storyline. But it ends with Alisa saying, I'm still going to go to Puerto Rico. Like, when I come back, we'll discuss
it. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is my beef.
Yes.
Can I have my beef?
Yes, please.
Give me my beef. I don't know why I'm so extra tonight. I'm really sorry. I guess this is my problem. This is where the show takes a very typical sitcom turn. Mm-hmm. Is they want to do the absolute best by a story, so they really sell you something. They sell that she's this really amazing match for him. They sell that they're really in love. They sell that he's really committing to her.
Yeah.
We watch Jack come to like growth, and I get it because for a show to go, you can't have too much change, all this stuff. But then they immediately, for no really clear reason, back to day one. And
yeah.
I know it's because, and the reason is because they couldn't afford Selma Hayek for as long, and they wanted to push it off to put it later in season where she comes back before the end, right? Like, they want to do all of that. But it just really bothers me because they work so hard to establish, no, he's grown, no, he's committed, no, this is the woman for him. And then she's just like, I'm going. Here's a video.
But also, like, part of me goes, like, she's going for Christmas, or she's not going forever, right?
Yeah, but
like, you're allowed to go and visit your family for a couple of weeks.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm saying this because we know what happens later.
Right. I'm saying more annoyed at, this is not being annoyed at this part of the story. It's being annoyed at the beginning that Jack was so upset that she was going to go back and visit her family for maybe a week, maybe a couple weeks. I have friends that when they go
and
visit.
It was like a month and a half or 2 months.
My friends.
It was for the winter.
Oh, yeah. Well, although it's February.
That's true.
But, like, it's just one of those things where, like, my friends, when they go and visit their family in the Philippines, they go for 4 or 5 weeks. Like, that's just kind of what you do. And so I look at this and I'm like, hold up, Jack. Like, also, you're a very wealthy man. You can go visit her once a week if you wanted to while you're there. Like, she wasn't saying, I'm moving back to Puerto Rico. I'm never coming back. It's, I'm going to go visit my family. But
it's more like that's the whole thing where she's like, I'm going to go to Puerto Rico for a bit. Like, she is taking a step back. That is what it really does feel like. And it's probably because he drew a line in the sand. But I get what you're saying. Yeah. I 100% agree. But for me, this is the beginning. I don't think I'm really saying this is the beginning of the end with Alisa.
Yeah.
Because we know, like, we've talked about there are other girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like, there's only been really 3 at this point, right?
And Jack's no Don Geist.
Yeah. Well played. Why is it that? Why do we keep seeing all the people that Jack loves having to make videos for him? That's also a thing. But
he
no.
just has like his library of
all
videos.
This stuff. And Jonathan.
But they're not the videos you think that he would have.
Exactly. And Jonathan.
And Oh, private. My gosh, that ending.
That's so great.
Okay, because I forgot that that's how that ends. So it ends with Jack. He puts in the video that Alisa left him, and then it's like an Arrested Development thing, right? Where it's like the video, and then it cuts to Michael Cera doing the lightsaber fighting.
Well, you know what that was a reference to, right?
What? Oh yeah, the YouTube dude,
the Star Wars kid. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the same thing. How like you're watching a serious video, and then it cuts to that. Where this you're watching a serious video, and it cuts to Jonathan playing the flute shirtless in Jack's office, which I'm now realizing that Jonathan plays the flute because Jack plays the flute.
Oh, shut up. You're right.
Uh-huh.
I forgot he plays the flute. Damn it.
He totally plays it because he like kicks Condi's butt, right?
Yeah.
But like, I just, because when Jack is putting in the tape from Geist, he goes, Jonathan, why is there a camcorder here? And Jonathan gets all nervous. And I'm now, at first I was like, why is he recording Jack in his office? And I'm now realizing, oh no, he was recording himself in Jack's office. Like, that's a thing that happens.
I also want to again give credit to where credit's due, that that boob shot is hilarious.
Oh my
super
gosh,
funny. I've never seen boobs used for comedy more in a show, and I think it's
so
super
good.
And like in a really weirdly like it's, I don't know if I'd say empowering, that's not right, but like so I don't know, it's just in a way that doesn't bother me as much sometimes. When I see the female body used for things, I'm like, I don't like how they're doing this. There's something about the way they use her,
yeah,
where you feel like she's in charge of it. I don't know, just that shot where she's like, how do you turn this thing off?
Yeah.
So funny. It's funny because she can't be anything but sexy.
Yeah.
Because she's so beautiful. And
she
I think there's something very funny about
that. A sweatshirt and like she's still, yeah.
It's just so funny to me. That's a line from that. That's from The House Sitter, that great Steve Martin Goldie Hawn movie where she's wearing a giant sweatshirt and leggings, but the sweatshirt comes to her knees. And he's like, can you just like wear something less sexy? And it's like she doesn't know he likes her yet, and he doesn't realize he likes her, but he's saying this to her, and she's like so confused. She's like, this? And he's like, it's just like, yeah. And it's like how you realize he likes her. It's really
cute.
Oh, how
funny.
Spoilers, that movie ends happy. So I just, that's my beef is the fact that this takes a typical sitcom thing where they like really establish something hard and they take it away from you so quickly versus like establishing it slowly and then giving you enough chinks for when it leaves.
Got it.
I don't know. It's just it's a thing I feel.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get to the last storyline.
Let's get to this Liz stuff.
So in the very beginning, while Liz is talking with Jack and she's all excited. Oh, no. When Pete and Liz are talking to Tracy about what you're going to say on Larry King, she gets a call. Pete gets the call and he says, how are you calling me? And she picks it up and realizes she left her phone in a cab, and it's the cab driver wants to hold her phone ransom for $800 because she's a rich lady because she's friends with Tracy Jordan.
Yeah.
And I just think that's funny. So then the rest of the storyline is her trying to get her phone back because, oh no, it starts with, is that what it's, no. It starts with, I have your phone, pay me $800. And then later on, he realizes, why do you have Tracy Jordan in your phone? Oh, you rich lady, I'm going to hold a ransom for $2,000. No, my brain's broke. No, that's right. No. It starts with the Tracy Jordan, and then later it's because he finds the picture of her, and so it's for $2,000.
That's exactly it.
That's
sexy. Her recreating that sexy photo is so funny to me.
Like, I'm not going to do that in public. That was not what I meant to
They're
do.
They're both pointing the right direction, the same direction. So funny.
Also, but in that moment where Jack goes, like, he asks to see, like, can he send me the picture? Like, Jack makes the comment wanting to see the picture.
I didn't pick up on that. And that's weird.
Yeah, but he doesn't say, let me see it. But he was like, can I get his number? He says something that, like, he wants to see this picture. Which,
well, I guess because to him it'd be really funny.
It probably, yeah, it was more the comedy.
I mean, let's look,
her
recreating it was pretty dang funny.
That's very true. Okay, so there's, when she picks up the phone and, oh, because Pete answers his phone and he says, this phone was left in my cab by a woman who wears the shirt of a man. and the shirt that Liz is wearing is that maroon long sleeve shirt, which is the same shirt that she and Pete have the same of. Remember?
No, because she has the sweater. But it's a white shirt underneath.
But it's a maroon cardigan sweater.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, I'm not saying the under, but I was just laughing.
Really,
and I was
funny.
Like, if that's literally the same outfit.
That's really, really, really funny. Excellent. Good eye, Kelsey.
Also, this is a PSA. If you have Siri on your... Okay, so like on my phone, I have like... Siri knows who I am, right? That I can,
you've already given this PSA on the show.
Have I? About making sure that your Siri is off on your screen when it's locked?
You're very passionate about this.
Because it's creepy. You can find people's addresses and phone numbers and recent contacts, and that is terrifying. Like, my Siri doesn't, like, turn off your Siri on your freaking lock phone because people can find you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Anyways, also listen to the Reply All episode from last week.
I did.
So funny. So good.
I saw how much you... I didn't know you listened to Reply All.
I don't. I listened to that episode.
You should listen to Reply All. It's fabulous.
I have too many podcasts and too many audiobooks from Audible to listen
to. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, we need to plug when they get... They need to start giving us money before we plug them this much.
They give us money when people...
All right, whatever, whatever. But Liz is doing... So Liz is going on this huge journey.
Yes.
To get her phone, and no one will go with her, but Kenneth will. Because Kenneth is the best person on earth.
But he will only go as a friend because NBC Insurance doesn't cover them out of Manhattan.
Also very, very, very true.
I love his thing with Liz. Just say it. Say I'm your friend.
So intense, so sweet. We are currently recording a podcast.
Do you know the TV show 30 Rock with Tina Fey from a couple years ago? It's a podcast called Talk 30 Rock to Me, and we talk about the show 30 Rock.
So how can we find you?
Well, this is great. We're going
to
plug our show.
If you go to your podcast app on your phone, you can search Talk 30 Rock to Me, and we'll pop up. Our logo is black with a little
night
piece of cheese in it.
This is literally, we just talk about a TV show. It's very silly.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're recording.
It's recording. This is all going to be in the show, so yeah. I don't edit it. So this is making it. Thank you. Have fun, guys. Night, guys.
Bye.
Oh, the fans. I mean, this life.
I love it.
It's so hard, you know, just being loved this way.
The struggle is so hard. I didn't know we had so many fans in Downey.
I know. We're big. We're pretty big here. I told you the tours are happening.
Totally.
The Sex
totally.
In the City style tours. But
they just yell blurg as they run down the street. Mm-hmm.
So, but what I find really interesting is, so first of all, Liz is like, okay, well, Liz wants Kenneth to help, but I love how she tells everyone about the adult photo, but she can't manage to tell Ken about it.
Right. Right.
That she really thinks he's going to judge her about
and then,
it.
Okay, so because her excuse is that she has a video of her grandma singing her a lullaby, and her grandma just died.
I just tell him.
But like also, so she starts singing like 99 Red Balloons, right? But in
German. Das Luf. 99 Red Balloons is originally German.
Right. What I was like, I feel like that legit could have been a quote lullaby that a grandma might have sung. Like, you know what I'm...
Do you know what 99 Red Balloons is about?
But it's like a fun tune. Yes, I know. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like it could have been something.
Okay, I guess.
Maybe
I
not.
Guess. I just can't imagine our grandma singing this big anti-war song.
Well, you never know.
I mean, hey, some grandmas are pretty Germans liberal. Are. Some grandmas are woke.
You know. So Kenneth's like, yo, I'm going to go with you. We're going to run downtown or whatever. So they come up out of the subway.
Did you see the sign?
So... Yes, I did. So first of all, they come up on Zirgonia Avenue, which is weird. But in the background, there's the ad.
Is there a Zirgonia, or they just make that up?
I meant to look it up, and I didn't. I just liked that Zirgonia. And there is an ad for Janie Jimplin. Which is so... And then as they're walking, Kenneth gets spray painted while he's walking.
He gets tagged. It's so funny.
So great.
I got tagged. I just love the idea of tagging people. Don't do it to me, but I just think it's funny.
I love the idea of it. But when Liz is like, oh, my grandma sang lullaby, and he goes, was it the day is done, my sweet, for the lambs have been decapitated?
You even capture the tone he takes. It's so funny.
He's so happy about it, and I love it so much. And so then they get down there, and so, yeah, because they get down there, and he's trying to, she didn't bring the money, right? She decided not to bring the $2,000 to get her. Oh, no, she decides to go down there by herself, and Kenneth leaves her because she's now realizing, like, oh, I'm here to help you get your boobie picture back, because mm-hmm. she describes it, and he's not here on friend business. She's saying that you're not my friend, so he's like, I'm breaking NBC rules. I have to go back.
Ken right. leaves, but then he comes back.
But then he comes back and
That's
saves
the best
the day.
Part. Classic Kenneth. Always, Kenneth is always the hero of the story, you know?
It's so great. It's uh-huh. so fantastic. And then... what is that from? Oh, sorry. I was like, where is that quote from? I remember what that is now. And so then he shows back up, and she's like, I didn't bring the money. Just give me my phone back. And he's like, you need to give me the money. And they're hearing overhead Tracy explain that my money's in the safest place at 30 Rock, dry and warm. The top is hard. The bottom is soft. And it moves all the time. And Kenneth realizes he's the place where Tracy's
me.
Saving his money. That's me.
They're so connected.
He rips open his wonderful page jacket that he loves so much, and there is just money sewn into his page jacket.
There's always money in the banana stand.
And it's so great. And so I love that Kenneth just goes, I would thank you to give the lady its phone back.
I love how they just play with the script, like, pepper and more gender jokes. Got it.
Right? It's so good.
It works really well.
And then Liz is like, we are friends. We're actually friends. And then Kenneth invites her, says, I'm having an asbestos removal party.
She's like, oh, yeah, I'll totally be there.
That just sounds great. But that mostly...
That covers the episode. Yeah. I've said my piece.
I got stuck on... I was like, where does this quote come from? And it was when they pull out the tape from Geis and Jack goes, do we even have a VCR? And Jonathan says, I keep a VCR so I can watch your old football tapes.
I love how this, like, it's such an excuse they'd explain it.
Right. Oh, and then Jonathan had some good lines, because then he goes,
it was a good Jonathan
I think
episode.
We should listen to Tracy Jordan and panic, sir. And Tracy says, so I'm now like going through like all my favorite lines. Tracy says, I think the Disneyification of New York is over, everyone.
I really dig that. I've actually had a friend write about the Disneyfication of things, particularly Disneyfication of noir. And then I read a really good article about the Disneyfication of city design.
Oh, interesting.
Actually, I would love to talk about the Disneyfication of anything, because it's a fascinating topic, right?
It's
because
true.
People know what you mean when you say that. Like, there's actually a very, like, have you ever heard of Celebration Florida?
I've been there.
You've been to Celebration?
That's where Give Kids the World is.
You're right.
Where you go, if you're on a Make-A-Wish trip, you stay there.
That you stay in Celebration. Celebration is fascinating.
Because that's where
me.
We went on our trip, our Make-A-Wish trip. That's where we stayed.
That's so interesting to me.
A long time. It was like, there was like the little like lake or pond or whatever, like the river, and there was like a pirate's boat there, and you had like a Mickey phone in your room, and like, yeah.
It's so crazy to me how you could take real life and Disneyfy it, and how much people... I don't know. It's just so interesting. So the Disneyfication of New York, though, cracks me up.
I never realized, like, being an Orange County kid, like, spoiled, like, Disneyland was home, basically. And I didn't realize, and I, like, there was Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm. And Knott's always had the better rides, but Disney was Disneyland. And I liked them both, but it wasn't until I went to Six Flags for the first time that I realized, like, oh, like, Knott's and Six Flags are one way, and Disneyland is different. Like, it wasn't until I noticed just that difference. Like, I just thought that, like, oh, Disneyland and Knott's are different. I suddenly realized, like, no, Disney's just on a different level.
No, Disney's very particular. And how do I say this? We had a unique experience growing up, because Disney is... I learned about the world through Disneyland, when usually it's supposed to be the opposite, right? You, like, live in the world, and then you come to Disneyland, you're like, whoa, this looks like all these places. How great. But for me, I remember being in New Orleans and being like, this looks like the French Quarter in
Disneyland.
Or I remember being in downtown LA and be like, this looks like that alley at Disney in California Adventure.
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird how the world looks like. To me, the world looks like Disney. Like, the world got Disneyfied for me because I grew up at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Versus the other way, where it's supposed to make it feel like... Disneyland's supposed to feel a safe version of the world. The world feels like a more dangerous version of Disneyland.
You know
what I mean?
Have you ever played Epic Mickey? It is all just the scary version of Disney.
Oh, no, I have not. I do not plan on it. So what are your favorite lines?
Well, hey, we had a Frank hat.
Oh, we do have a Frank hat. What
that
is it? I don't remember.
Emotional friend.
I did not write down. I wrote them out in the extra episode, but I didn't write these.
And then there was one other. He was wearing a shirt that was referenced by somebody else. That said, it was moral, oral, and somebody, one of the writers or something, had to do with something moral, oral. I can't remember what it was. Like, it's like a sketch that somebody else was involved in or something. But then there was this whole, the AV Club article was talking about how...
We keep giving half facts.
I give most facts. I give full facts most of the time.
Most, I'm not knocking. I'm just like, how do we keep giving half facts? I can't remember anything tonight.
I just can't remember. This is going to bother me, because I'm pretty sure I got this on... IMDb. Please hold. You talk about your favorite line.
I'll talk about I found the music delightfully magical. I love, again, how the music, again, it's always the music interacting with Kenneth, and the way the music plays around Kenneth, what's going on with him, and I find it wonderful. But I have two favorite lines. First one is one I say often, which is, I'm Coco for Cuckoo Puffs. Cuckoo Poofs.
Oh,
Cuckoo
that,
Poofs.
That's
what she says. She goes,
that,
the whole world is Coco for Cuckoo Poofs. And I think it's deeply funny, and I like to say that a lot. What's your fact?
Frank can be seen wearing a moral oral T-shirt throughout the episode, which was frequently written by and produced by co-star Scott Adsit.
Got it. Oh, interesting. Get it, Scott Adsit.
Yeah, I knew there was something. And then I just read something either. The show's 22 Emmy nominations in two. So season 3 had 22 Emmy nominations.
Damn.
I didn't even realize that. Damn. We're not done with season 3. But okay, but so in the AV Club article, they were talking about how, so Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal had a response to Obama's State of the Union in, oh, whatever year that was, 2015, I think. And there was just this whole thing about how, I don't know why it was on the notes for this episode, but it was talking about how, like, his, the governor, his persona is very Kenneth-esque. And like, so it was just, I don't, this was
the name Bobby Jindal is very familiar, but I can't, I'm terrible at these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, that it said, and on the interwebs were comparing his boyish southern lilts to Kenneth the Page on 30 Rock. And then Kenneth, as Jack McBrayer, issued a quick and very funny response on Jimmy Fallon's show. And you can find, I have the link, I'll send it to you. I don't know, remember why that was on this AV Club article. The guy who wrote this article wasn't the normal guy. And so we had kind of a weird, like, facts at the top of it.
Interesting.
Whatever.
Interesting.
But as far as my, I'm like, I just said a whole bunch of other, lines that I liked, but, oh, I did like that, Tracy, it was kind of interesting. It's very profound. I feel like that Tracy ended up saying, I'm not an expert, but I do have a strong opinion, which I feel like everybody should just start their sentences that way when they're talking on certain shows. Like, if
that's
like,
an excellent
I'm not
point.
An expert, but I just have a strong opinion. And here it goes, like, cool. Share your strong opinion. That is totally, totally okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite line is Tracy saying devil's avocado.
I was gonna say too.
I think people should freak the geek out.
I think it's just the way he's like devil's avocado.
Devil's avocado.
He says it so sincerely. It's absolutely delightful.
It's so good.
No, those are my favorite lines. We nailed it.
Larry King.
I think we just
or Jaleesa
covered it. Jaleesa.
Not yet.
It's coming.
Kimmy, where can people find you?
People can find me at kimchilucas.com. I am boring.
At kimchilucas.com.
I'm tired.
I'm really did you tired. Get a website?
Thank
I hope you buy that
me.
Domain
and
between now
and
next
kimchilucas.com.
week.
Nope, it's at kimchilucas. I'm such an idiot. At Kim G. Lucas on Instagram and anywhere else. I'm pretty boring lately. But if you're lucky, you can see Insta stories of the wedding I'm in and the bachelorette party, which was crazy. But the only part I shared of it was us putting napkins on our heads because we're funny.
Very true.
Yeah. So at Kim G. Lucas, please, September 12th, I am producing a show at the Nerd Melt. More info coming. But just, you know, come to the Nerd Melt September 12th. Do it. It's going to be great.
Like
and then second Wednesday of every month, Radio Picture Show. Please come. It's going to be great. We always have an incredible lineup. The stories are amazing. I got called a racist at the last one.
Nice.
Fun fact. It was on. I
you were
wasn't,
trying to keep that under wraps. I'm just kidding.
I know, right? I was trying to let people not know I was racist. No, it was really embarrassing and it was funny and the guy was joking, but I felt terrible anyway. And I wasn't trying to be racist. I'm not, but also we all are a little bit and I own that. I'm trying to be better in every way. But now people are going to think I did something actually racist. I didn't. I played a song and he made a joke about it, but it was an accident. I didn't do anything racist. I promise. But it happened and I was really embarrassed. I'm probably going to have to cut this out.
You can find me places at Redheaded Blonde on Instagram and Twitter.
Uh-huh.
You can find our podcast places at Talk30RockToMe.
Mm-hmm.
Send us emails, Talk30RockToMe@gmail.com.
Ooh, do.
Leave us reviews mm-hmm. and comments and love, and
yeah.
we appreciate that.
We always do. Have we had any fun tweets lately that you remember? I keep forgetting to check. When they do, it's great. You just always talk to people. I'm just like in my own la-la land. And
I interact.
If you're talking to us, you're probably talking to Kelsey.
Probably.
But I'm game to
Well, you know what's so funny is I've thought about like signing the tweets, but like people know me as Kelsey Lane and you as Kimmy Lucas. So I could sign it KL and they would, like, that really wouldn't help.
Well, why do we have the same?
Because I don't want people to know my last name.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that about does it for today for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Next week, we'll also be at this restaurant.
Or my car.
Or in the parking lot. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.